you know, it's tough to always be on the top of your game. As a matter of fact, it's probably impossible to follow a rhythm where you're always in this state of energized, high performance, and there's this ebb and flow that all of us as humans experience. But our topic today is a little bit different than that. We're talking about this pervasive drag on organizations that we call workplace exhaustion, and the loneliness that results from it. And today, Joyce and I, we kind of take it on because we think there are a lot of things that you can do as a leader, as HROD, to help your organization get out of the workplace doldrums. As a matter of fact, we share 25 ideas in today's episode. Let's get right to it. Come on in, grab a healthy snack. Welcome.
Hey, Joyce.
Good morning, Bob. I'm being a little formal today.
Hey, so Joyce and I are reporting from our beds today because of the topic.
Oh, the topic is called exhaustion. Harvard just wrote a special study about it, which I haven't read because I wanted to riff on it first. And then read, which is a great way not to kill your ideas. But we've talked about pieces of this throughout our conversations because we are in, first of all, I wonder what exhausted actually means.
Yeah.
Without host. we are in a period of time when most people I look at, talk to, read about, have some sort of low energy, and change takes extra energy. And if you think of putting a toddler to bed, a toddler who's is exhausted and red-cheeked and bumping into things and nothing satisfies and doesn't know he or she is exhausted.
Yep.
And then someone comes along and soothes or forces a period of recovering energy. And it is, I think there's existential and far-flung grief.
Yep.
About, is this our world? What have we done? How many people have lost people due to COVID that think it's unfair? Extra energy needed for change. Our organizations are kind of, I want to say staggering, but that's a little dramatic, are trying to stay at the same degree of production with injured people, either from, you know, working at home, which sounds great, but it has its complexities. And what can a company do to a workforce that is somewhat grieving, but done with what used to be? They go, I can't do that again. I now realize how tired I was, how uninvested I was. I'm not doing that. I'm not going to work for the post office. I'm not going to deliver milk. I've become an isolated individual. I don't feel support from my company in terms of benefits or anything, or even the morning hello. This morning I said to you, I'm tired and I'm sad. And because I'm here and talking with you, I'm not. So there's, you know, there's that lack of that kind of social connection, and there's hunkering that doesn't feel good. Usually if you hunker down, you do have a comfortable bed to go to, and many people don't even have that.
Yeah.
And I have a very blessed life. And I was saying to Bob, when I play the word games or the games on the New York Times, I first look at the pictures of devastation. They're placed there. Devastation and the barbarian energies that are in the air. And I feel really horrible for 3 to 5 seconds. And then I want to win Wordle. And that, even if you're a conscious person, becomes exhausting. The world's horrible. What do I do? My family is confused. It's just pervasive exhaustion. Let's put it that way. So there's no one fix other than I would love to give the world a nap, an enforced nap. Everybody down.
So a side note for our listeners. First, that was a great setup. And it was a real downer, because you captured through your words, through your tone of voice, the true essence of exhaustion. And I want to hunker down after hearing you share. But that's the importance of this topic. An expression I used to use with senior leaders or someone who was in job search, the challenge is, how do I be at my best?
When
I feel the worst. And you know, I personalize this topic because I have had exhaustion. And I think about what not only my state of mind in those periods of time, but how I, in many cases, worked my way through it and out of it. So I think this is a great topic to talk about today. And you're right, there's a pervasive exhaustion, which is like a world-class athlete who runs a marathon that has an ankle that's bothering him. It doesn't keep him from running, but it really impacts their performance.
And we're swimming in it.
Yeah.
Everybody, whether you can name it or not, on a worldwide basis, we're swimming in it, which I think about the Olympics for some reason, saying, is that where all that energy should be going?
Yeah.
You know, the athletic stuff. I was playing with this idea, which is a horrible burden to put on us.
Yeah.
I think we should brainstorm 25 ideas, 20 that are whatever that eases exhaustion.
Okay. So I'm going to keep. I will be scorekeeper. But I like where you're heading. See, I felt that now that you immersed us in this topic.
Despair.
It's like, well, okay, so where do we go from here? So
come on, step into despair.
I've got one, and it's something that we've said in other other topics, is the importance of putting a name on something, like in terms of what is happening. Putting words to it. So I think the first is recognizing what it is and naming it for what it is. In this case, exhaustion.
Period. So, you don't get to explain a lot.
No explanation.
No, I don't have anything to say. Make rotating sabbaticals, mini sabbaticals. Company. It doesn't impact sickness or vacation. Rotating sabbaticals of, say, 3 days. So you get a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So you get this once a year sabbatical for recovery.
Number three, take inventory of what is happening in your life that may or is contributing to your exhaustion. Anything from sleep to diet to drinking. Put a name on it. Yes, exhaustion, but what are some of the things that are the root causes?
Name the moments at work or home that give you joy or pleasure or a tiny hint of hopefulness.
Okay.
I have another one based on our conversation.
No, that's the rules. Go ahead. Number five.
Okay, no, you go ahead. I'll hold it.
Nope. You go ahead. I want to hear.
Lock them out. Move. Move. Get move in some way, shape, or form. Having been through a loss of a husband and big grief in the world and health challenges, when I move, something shifts. If I do one thing, I'll do three things.
Okay. Number six, enforce the 5-second delay. So whether you're reacting or making a decision, when you're in exhaustion, literally pause before you act or say.
Do create mid. Tony Schwartz's book, The Way We're Working Isn't Working, is good. Get it. Read it. He suggests that 90 minutes is the amount of productive energy you can have, and then you need a half an hour. And we did a workshop on this of mini sabbaticals where you can take a nap at work, go do some photography there. In other words, there's an array of fun, different activities after an hour and a half of work, a half an hour of leisure or play. So you have jigsaw puzzles set out, you have watercolors, you have books, you have jacks for Pete's sake, you have an array of choices for that half hour sabbatical. Hour and a half of work, half an hour of play.
Embrace humor and laughter for yourself and others.
Yes, play comedians, respectable or not, in break rooms.
Okay. Build community. So this is similar to move, but it's getting in community that reinvigorates you and gets you in a better place.
Create organizational support for giving, for generosity, whether that's making a directory of your corporate office or further out of, here's what I could give if you need it. I could give babysitting. I could give plumbing. I could give whatever. And so have a basket full of giving that's widely arrayed, needle point, bread baking. And I'm ready to give that to a colleague.
Create a ritual of rest or stretching. Like 3 times a day, the bell goes off and everyone closes their eyes and reflects.
Do have a room set aside for quiet meditation or just quiet to sit and be quiet. Create a room for meditation and silence.
Exercise. And if you already exercise, exercise more. It's the great paradox where it actually helps exhaustion as opposed to creates more.
Have a day of happy food. Have people bring in what food makes them happy. Give me some red licorice and I'm ready. For me, red licorice, popcorn, but have a happy food day.
I really like that one a lot.
What's your favorite food? What's a happy food for you?
Happy food for me is similar to yours. So happy food is popcorn. But it's got to be good popcorn, not this cellophane popcorn.
Yeah, I'm getting tired of that too. I am. I think I'm going to make some buttered popcorn later. You know how many we have?
We're up to 11, so we're about halfway there. So I have one. Slow organization as much as you can. So releasing time restraints, pushing important but not critical projects, initiatives out. Clear the decks.
Also clear the decks by bringing your staff, and I suppose you would do this online, but I do love butcher paper on the walls, of people to just do a brain dump of everything that's on their mind. And you can decide whether you want to include personal or not. And then have another person, not the person who wrote it, go through and say, here's what I'd cross off that list. I don't think it matters. Let it go. And have them leave the room having said, I'm saying no to these activities. So even if other people ask, I don't think they help. No, 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 no. So clear the gunk out of the head, put it on paper, and similar to what you said, but that's what triggered my thought.
No, it's a good one. It's very tactical and practical.
And post near your area.
Slow down when you think you should speed up. You know, the criticality of being in a business and the pressures and the challenges often encourages us to go faster when in fact that may be just the time to slow down.
Have several smallish rooms with reclining chairs. And it's a place to come and put your feet up and be quiet with music. And maybe self-help books and magazines in there. It is a quiet zone.
Invite different or new voices into the organization. So it could be a speaker that brings a different perspective about the business, or a futurist that can kind of talk about what the world may look like. So anything that stimulates thinking, bringing that on in a very deliberate way within your organization.
Creating a vision that you would love to see happen. I don't know whether that would be done in a group, coached. What would you love your life and work the next 6 months? Don't talk to yourself about you can't have it.
What can you do today or in the next hour? You pick the time frame, but it's got to be immediate. What is the one thing that you can do that you control to move you out of exhaustion?
Got me wanting to go back to bed.
I'm thinking food, man. We just need a couple more, Joyce.
Okay, speaking of going back to bed, maybe it's in the reclining room, but there should be a snooze room with recliners and stuff. And I want a fake but not ridiculous fireplace in there. And I want lots of pillows and blankets piled in a corner. And you can just grab, you can literally, a big fat nap, but you can't snore.
Oh, boy.
But sleeping encouraged on the job.
Take one from the past. Ruthlessly eliminate work that doesn't matter. Could be meetings, could be rituals, it could be patterns that you do organizationally. 4-H.
Yeah, I'm going to say, remember, when half of you are in the workplace and half of you are at home, take a meditative break, or to bring in people, and there are those that run games. Hey, stores energy. What I'm really emphasizing is doing something relaxing, breaking the exhaustion dip with people at home and at work at the same time.
Last drum roll, please, drum roll. Do something new. Do something you've never done before. And everything blueberry bagel. Newness in your life.
Bueno.
Bueno, muy bueno.
Or okay. Go to the Caribbean.
You know what's amazing, Joyce? My energy level and exhaustion level has gone in opposite directions. So even our conversation has helped me move into a different place. So great conversation. And I think our work's done here, Joyce.
We suggest that you just do this with your staff or yourself of 25 ideas, none that need to be realistic, that refresh.
That's your assignment. We'll talk to you next week.
So before we sign off today, Joyce and I have an invitation to all of our former colleagues, those people that we've had the pleasure of working with over both of our careers. And the invitation is to come on the show. We know every one of you has a story to tell about leadership, about HR, OD, organizational effectiveness, and there's no substitute for hearing it in your own words. So please reach out to us at bobandjoyce.com and we'll get you on the show, because we too want to stay out of the doldrums. So until the next time, be well and be safe.